What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Man, it's been a while, bro.
I ain't heard that in a minute. Dang.
Right? It's been a minute, man. Hope everyone's having a good summer. Ryan and I took a hiatus because there isn't shit going on in the NFL whatsoever, except rookies still being signed, which is the most mundane thing ever. I will say, though, this dead period, time period, is a time that I think you and I both expected to have, like, more non-football related guests on the show, and whatever. Yeah. It just hasn't happened. But all that aside, we got something to talk about. It finally happened. You and I were getting so fucking annoyed that it was taking this long. Stud, former All-Pro right tackle Ryan Ramczyk got the bag. Contract extension. He's tied to the Saints to 2026. The highest right tackle, paid right tackle in the league. I think he's getting, like, you know, at some point he's going to be, not this year, but he's going to be making like 19.6 or 19.2 a season. About time, man. It's about time.
Man, big money.
Huge.
It's crazy because, like, that used to be quarterback money, man. Like, just not too long ago, just a couple years ago, that was like top level Peyton Manning with the Broncos money. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like 20 mil.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. But, like, I mean, nobody sniffed that. It's not like we looked at the numbers like, oh, he's overpaying.
It's nope.
Like, that was about right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, makes sense. You know, so, and I think he probably played through it, man. Like, he's that good of a player. Like,
he is, man. He is. Make
all that contract next year, they'd probably be hollering at him like, hey, man, you know, can we turn some of that salary into signing bonus and kick that shit?
Already see it coming, bro.
You know, and it's like cap number's going to be like $80 million in 2025 or some shit. Like some ridiculous number.
But I'm glad it happened. It's so funny because every time I get or we get annoyed at offensive line picked in the draft, I always try to like remind myself of like Ramczyk, right? Like,
yeah.
Boy, whew. Like we should have did a live stream when we thought we were going to have Reuben Foster and they drafted Ramczyk.
Bro, because me and you both, we love Foster.
Love him, bro. Love him.
We almost had him. We had him on the phone.
He was on the phone, right? On the phone. And so I try to keep things in perspective because, like, well, you know, and it wasn't like I was against the Ramczyk you know, him being drafted, I was just like, we talked about on the show numerous times, you know, drafting an offensive lineman, like it's just not attractive.
It was just boring, We had Streif at the time, and it was like, oh, what do we need this for? You know, it was boring. We're going into the 2017 season, coming off three back-to-back-to-back 79 seasons.
Yep.
You know, you find we had two picks in the first round. You know, it's like.
Yep, traded Brandon Cooks to New England.
Yeah. So, you know, we would look, you know, forever looking for that wide receiver. We were like, yeah, we're going to get a playmaker or linebacker, whatever, you know. But, look, man, it worked out, man. Like, you know, and you just got to remember that sometimes.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say that, you know, I'm not trying to completely write off Cesar Ruiz, but, like, when Ramchek got on the field, bruh.
Oh, it was it. That was it. Because it was the Vikings game, right? The first game, week one, Streif got hurt.
It was. You know what's funny? It was because, if I remember correctly, that was like a Monday night football. That was the Adrian Peterson game. It was a Monday night football game. I had to work, and I couldn't get off, like, completely in time. And, like, Sam Bradford cut the Saints defense up, bro.
Sliced them.
And I remember you texting me. He was like, bro, you can save some more kids' lives, bro. Like, so I only saw, like, maybe, like, the second half of that game. But, like, when you saw Ramchek play, bro, like, you just knew. Like, you knew.
Mm-hmm. He was like, okay, we're going to be all right. We gonna be all right, you know. And I mean, that was it. That was the end of Streif. Like, that was the end of his career, right there. You know, and which is typically how it goes. That's how Streif got his job. John Stainstone got hurt in camp. Streif, you know, Streif had been with the Saints for years as just like, you know, a swing tackle, lined up, and he took over. So. You know, it's interesting how those things work out. So, you know, you never know, man. But like you said, with Caesar, it was just like, damn, man. Those snaps weren't looking too good.
they were not Ramchek-esque.
I want to ask you right quick, though, because there's some theories going out that he will eventually move to left tackle, Ramchek. If, you know, I think Toronto State's on his last year.
Yeah, I think I read, was it Catherine's article? I think, yeah, it was Catherine's article in The Athletic talking about, like, that, the Toronto extension or something.
And also, like Ramchek has these escalators in his contract where if he's, like, first or second team All-Pro as a left tackle, he gets, like, an extra $6 million over his contract.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
It is, man. It is. Like,
Here's what I know is, I mean, I think I can, whatever, I don't give two shits. Before Nick and I had our falling out, he specifically told me that the team felt that Ramchek was so good that he could be a top five left tackle in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how high the team is on him as a player in totality. So that said, wouldn't it be like the most Saints thing? And but wouldn't it be some shit? Like, I could totally see, like, this season is still Teron and Ramchek, but after this season, they either decide to let Teron go, you know, and move Ramchek to the left tackle, and then you got another hole in right tackle. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, they got to address right tackle again. It's like,
yeah, but
they drafted what's that? The MAGA dude this year,
Landon Young.
Landon Young, whatever. I mean, look, I mean, if he comes in and he's showing some good right tackle snaps, it's like, okay, maybe he's a swing tackle this year.
It makes that flip and that change a lot easier.
Yeah.
I will ask you this. So we said on this podcast, like, Ramchek was a priority over Marcus Williams, over Marshawn Lattimore. July 15th is the deadline for a contract to be worked out with Marcus Lattimore because of the franchise tag. So my question to you is, who do you think, and I know it's a hard question because with Lattimore, he got the gun charges, the inconsistency, but who would, as you were running the Saints, who would you prioritize more in terms of contract extension? Marcus or Marshawn?
Honestly, I want to say Lattimore, but if I was Loomis, or if I was Sean Payton, I'd be like, I just want to see where Lattimore's head at is this year. Like, I just want to see how he come in. You know what I'm saying? What's his mindset in training camp, early in the season, and shit like that. I need to find some. Like, I still got questions, bro. Like, I wonder about the dude. I wonder about him. I have no doubt about his football ability. I don't have any question about it. I know he's a good football player, but I just need to know what his mindset is and how that accentuates his football ability. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they go together. His mindset affects his football ability.
Yes.
I want to know if he has it. So I would just, like, I'm it's funny because I'm more confident in Marcus Williams.
That's
because
crazy.
You just see, it's crazy. It's crazy, right?
I agree with you, but it's crazy to say that out loud, man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, because Marcus Lattimore at his best is an elite corner back in the NFL, which is no small thing. Like, teams are struggling to find elite cornerbacks, you know. But and Marcus safety is a top level safety. If you want to call him elite or not, I don't know. Like, that's semantics. But if he's not elite,
he's damn sure very good
in that damn category. But it's like, and you know, I mean, but you know, the safety position is kind of not as important or whatever. But man, when you have one, man, it's like,
I think we as Saints fans, like, we know how important the safety position is.
That's
bro.
What I'm saying. Like, we had a whole, like, trope where we would say, you know, does he play safety? Like, that was our little, what are the Saints report days? Like, oh, does he play safety?
Josh Bullock days, baby.
Josh Bullock, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, we remember, bro. Like, days was tough.
Rough out here, bro.
Man. So, like, you have somebody with range that can be there. It's like having, you know, it's like having some good insurance. You know what I'm saying? It's like good car insurance, bro. Like, you don't want to lose a good car insurance that's affordable. You know, and that's the thing. That's another thing. It's like Marcus Williams is not going to break the bank. Whatever we're going to pay him, it's not going to be, you know, $20 million or nothing like that. It's going to be
not like you would for a cornerback.
Right. So, I actually think something's going to get done between 4 to 15. You know how Loomis them is, man. It's all about deadlines. I think they're going to try to lock him up before then. I don't even know if they really made a hard offer at Lattimore, bro. Like, I don't even know. I think they're just kind of trying to play it out and just kind of waiting to see, which is, you know, sad, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see, bro.
We will, bro. We will. Ryan, if I see one more, I mean, I'd love to see it. I'm not taking away from it. I don't need to see any more Jameis throwing the Trey Crown, bro.
Boy, Jameis, man, that's his man's right there, bro. That's my man's right there.
Don't need to see it no more, bro.
They working out, Chip.
I say that somewhat jokingly. It is very good to see them putting the work in. And
put the work, bro.
And that's stuff that you know, right now to like the casual person just watching the footage, like whatever. But like, who fucking knows, bro? In a game situation, and Jameis is scrambling and all that work, like. It kind of becomes just second nature to do like a scramble drill, boom, 30, 40 yard pass down the field just because of that, that consistency.
I mean, we've seen that with, you know, with Drew and Marcus Colston.
Yep.
Like, they were known for just working, like, you know, Marcus Colston just live out there in San Diego just to work out with Drew all summer. you know, just to get that work in. And we saw it on the football field. Like, that was, like, Marcus Colston was an extension of Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just was right there all the time. So, and I'm not saying, you know, Traquan Smith going to be, like, Colston-type player for Jameis. But, you know, if he needs to have, like, with the wide receivers we got, like, we need that. Like, we
need it.
He needs to have some kind of chemistry, bro. And, you know, I know a lot of Saints fans, I keep saying, like, where Mike Thomas at? Like, where yet? That's interesting, though. That's like a side note, man. It's just like, I remember Sean Payton saying in a press conference, like, when they asked him about Mike Thomas, it was more like, when they asked him about his ankle, it was like, oh, he's coming along, he's on track. Which made it seem like that ankle was a lot more, you know, a lot more than, you know, like, he didn't even, I don't think Mike Thomas even did an interview.
Bro, like, if you remember, I want to say, like, the day or so after the playoff loss to the Bucks, like, Adam Schefter came out and, like, tweeted or reported, like that he had, like, ligaments fucked up in the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad, bro.
Bad, man. So, you know, I think we don't know the full scale of what Mike Thomas was really dealing with. And I don't think he's 100% yet. I guess they hope he's going to be 100%, you know, come training camp. And, I mean, if he's not, I 100% get him not working out on some deal with Jameis Winston and, you know, get injured and lose all your bonus and guarantee money and all that shit. Nah, I wouldn't do it either. So, you know, it's just something to keep an eye on, man. Like, Mike Thomas, that was a disappointing year for him, bro. Like, that was
– It was because he went from
– Bended in the news and all that shit. Like,
it was rough, bro. Went from offensive player of the year, broke NFL receiving or reception record to just an injury plague year, injury plague season, man.
Cool.
Then got called Slant Boy, and been rough, bro.
You carry that monica up, bro. Slant Boy.
With Jameis, that might
change.
Speaking of Jameis, you pointed this out to me, you know, with the Traquan and Jameis video, CD Deuce quote tweeted it on Twitter, said QB1.
QB1, baby.
Can we stop? Let's stop, bro. Like, I don't, this whole... It being a quarterback competition, I'm not entertaining this.
Like, look, I get it. I understand coach got to be like that with his coach speak or whatever, but, like, come on, man. Players know. Like, yes. Anytime Cam Jordan been all on NFL Network and shit and all that, talking about Jameis and all that, like, players know. Like, and here's the thing, man. Like, you could, like, if you start Jameis, Week 1, and say he just goes off the rails. They go 4 weeks, they don't win any games, he's throwing pick sixes, and it's just terrible. Okay, then you go to Taysom. And it's like, okay.
Can you just imagine those 4 weeks, bro?
Oh, man, it'll be terrible. But it's like you go to Taysom, and it's like, okay, we get it. But if you go to Taysom first,
yes,
and then it goes to shit.
Yes.
Or even if it goes good, when it's going good, you're going to be asking, man, what if we had Jameis in there? It'd be even better. You know what I'm saying? So it just makes sense to go with Jameis, get that out the way. The players, you can't lie to players. Players know what the fuck is up. You know what I'm saying?
No matter what the sport is, you can't do it. You can't do it.
They're going to pick him for sure. You know what I'm saying? So, it's just an eventuality to me. I don't expect it one bit. Than to be Jameis Winston, unless he gets hurt. I go, well, hopefully that never happens. You know, but I'm like, man, who working out with Taysom? Like, ain't nobody. Nobody been working out with Taysom, bro. Like, damn, man. Like, does he have anybody representing
Austin Carr? I don't know, bro.
And it's not that they love Taysom. Like, the players love Taysom, but they're like, man, we want you on the field, like,
right?
Passes and shit, like, man.
Taysom got to call up my toss, bro. Adrian Arrington.
Adrian Arrington.
So with the Ramchek extension, it's got like 11 million cap space now, bro. I don't know if people, I mean, obviously if you're a Saints fan, hopefully you listen to the podcast and you know, $11 million in cap space in Mickey Loomis language?
Man. You got to put the multiplier effect on that motherfucker. Like, that motherfucker, that's about 70 M's right there, bro. Yeah,
easy. Easy, bro.
But you know what? I don't think they want to use it because, you know, the cap, we're going to be kind of, we're going to be tight next year too.
Yeah,
man. And you know, you can carry over year to year. So I think they want to keep some of that to carry over to next year. Just to give them a little, you know, just give them a little breathing room. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to have a lot to do next year also. But it does open up, CB2. Everybody waiting on the CB2, bro.
Waiting, bro. I refuse to believe that they would go into week one against the Packers with either P-Rob or don't vax me a Debo starting quarterback two. I refuse to believe that. Speaking of which, we haven't did a pod episode in so long. This man went to Stanford, Ryan. He didn't play football last season because of uncertainty, whatever, COVID.
That's what gets me. You took a whole season off in your college, which, you know, many think he could have been a first or second round pick if he would have played another season. He took a whole season off out of fear of COVID. But then, like, I ain't messing with no vaccine. We don't know what's in that. It's like, what? Bruh.
Stupidity, right? I get that shit so angry. I had to block him. Couldn't have him on my timeline, bro. Couldn't do it.
Man.
It's so funny because Saints talk about, well, they emphasize, oh God, we just, you know, we don't make fun of these guys. We just want to make sure they had clean medicals. You know, so much uncertainty going in the draft last season. So y'all drafted like this whole draft class of guys with clean medicals, supposedly, but yet like intelligence. Yo, who was that cat who reported like the fucking intelligence or Wonderlic scores or whatever, like the smartest Saint draft class ever? No. Bullshit.
Hey man, I'm not, he's a quote unquote free thinker. I'm not doctor, man. Man wants to think about it, man. This is like, hey, I don't know. I'm not sure what I want to put in my body, bro. You know? But it's like, come on, bro. Like, damn. Look, the good news is the Saints have met that 85% threshold. They're one of the few teams that are, like, you know, mostly vaccinated. So, you know, they good to go. But looking at those, like, man, like, if you're not vaccinated,
bro,
basically, like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, the restrictions, if you're it's insane.
It's like, just off that, like, regardless of what you feel about a vaccine, just off that, of not having that kind of hindrance in my life, I'd be like, man, just inject me with that J&J and let's get on with it.
No, not the J&J, bro.
That J&J. Man, I read a report today that said the J&J fucking over that Delta quadrant.
I read the same thing a couple of days ago about Moderna, bro.
You heard me? We good with the Delta and everything, man. I ain't worrying about that shit, man. J&J, baby.
So getting back to the Caps, the Saints having cap space, I do expect them. I don't know if it's gonna be Richard Sherman. I don't know if it's gonna be Drake or Patrick. I don't know. But I do expect
Jerry O'Connelly. I like Jerry O'Connelly, man. You know, I mean, I know he wasn't great Raiders or whatever, but young, you know, could have some of that P. Rob upside. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
You know what's funny, and this is a miss by me, is when I watched, because they were both at, him and Marshawn both at Ohio State at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually prefer Conley's tape.
Hey.
Like, I did. Because I felt that he was more, again, this is going back to when they were prospects for the year they came out, but I felt like he was more consistent, like, mm-hmm. just all around. And then he mm-hmm. had the whole, like, sexual thing where he, like, mm-hmm. he was raping someone, and then he got, like, drafted in the first round. And then, like, the whole rape thing, like, it was weird, bro. It was weird. I know, so.
And it's something, it's funny because wasn't Gladney with the Ohio State, right?
Was it Jeff Gladney?
Was he with Ohio State?
Vikings quarterback?
Yeah.
No, he did not go to Ohio State.
Oh, he didn't?
I want to say he went to TCU, but I'm not 100% sure.
All right. Never mind.
trying to say it's an Ohio State thing, bro?
No. It was kind of a mirror. Jeff Gladney. He went to TSU. I'm tripping. Okay. Never mind.
it wouldn't be exactly like it, but like if they, first of all, I don't think you can sign Darren Conley to be your, like, you bring him in to compete, but like he can't be the answer because he has had some bad fucking snaps.
Oh, yeah. He had bad snaps, bro. Bad snaps.
But
I'll just qualify that when he was playing with one of the worst defensive lines in the NFL.
Yes.
Like the absolute worst, with one of the worst DCs. Just one of the worst defenses ever. You know what I'm saying? So I would add that qualifying. Not saying if you bring him, he'll be elite, but maybe he'd be like slightly better than he was with the Raiders. You know what I'm saying?
Because I know he was with the Raiders, and did he get traded to the Texans?
Was it a trade? I think it was a trade.
I think he did get traded to the Texans. And then all I would say is, like, if the Saints were to sign him, you would hopefully something in the range of, like, Eli Apple, maybe
right.
a few tiers below Eli Apple.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right. I mean, look, Janoris Jenkins got cut by the fucking Vikings. Like, I know it wasn't mostly for on-field players, you know, because he tweeted some shit. But still, like, he wasn't having the greatest career with the Giants either. You know what I'm saying? And before that, it was Eli Apple, who also got cut by the Giants. You know what I'm saying? Like, Giants was just feeding us, bro. Like, I don't know what the fuck was going on.
They
want to
give us, like, Evan Ingram or something? Like,
yeah, I mean, come on, man.
I will say this. I brought this up with Travis. That wide receiver room kind of stacked, bro. Like they got Galladay, they got Sterling Shepard, they got Slayton, and they drafted Tony in the first round.
Shepard, I could see Shepard getting pushed out of there.
I could see that. I could see Shepard or Slayton getting moved. Because you have four wide receivers. You can't play. I mean, yeah, how often are you gonna go four wide all the time? Like, it does, like, something's gonna shake up in that Giants wide receiver room. I don't know what it is, but something's gotta shake. Because you don't draft a wide receiver at 20 and just be like, oh, all right, like we're not just gonna play him. Like that's not how it works.
No, I love Slayton in our offense.
Man, he would bring a vertical dimension. That, like, I know Traquan, but, like, he's a different vertical dimension than Traquan.
Yeah. Young, you know, big, by what, 6'1", 6'2"? I don't know. I like that.
Bro, I would toss them. I'll toss them at the fourth for Slayton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
Easy.
No fucking question. I mean, back-to-back, like, 700 yards or something like that. Like, it's more intriguing.
And he makes big plays.
Yeah. Without question.
Anyway, so, sorry, that's our little wide receiver segment of the podcast. But yeah, like I would even have to look at a list to see what's out there. You know, it's Richard Sherman, Dre Kirkpatrick, Gary Conley. Like, I know that list ain't like. I had to look up it. Like, the list is so.
It's just where we at, bro. It's like. But it's still better than what we got. Like, it's still.
You know who I don't think they would, but there's still some players out there. KJ Wright, Melvin still Ingram.
Like, hey, that's crazy,
right? Like Melvin Ingram, like I would do that.
I love KJ Wright. I just don't think Melvin Ingram is their guy. Like.
No, he is
absolutely and everything is just not. I don't know.
Our arms too short. Nah.
Yeah, it's just not them. But man, KJ Wright, man, give me that, man. Oh,
dang. Please. I don't care that you drafted Bond and Pete. Like, I don't care, bro. You know what's interesting? I didn't know who was still out there. Steve Nelson, cornerback.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Steve Nelson's out there.
Huh.
So is DJ Hayton.
Damn, DJ Hayton, man.
I'm not saying like these people gonna come in. You know who would be a great signing, even though like the Saints wouldn't do it because he pretty much plays the exact position that CD plays. Mikael Roby Coleman.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
That would be hilarious, bro.
Could you imagine?
That would be so hilarious. That would be hilarious, man. Oh.
I just, like, he literally plays, like, the slot. So, like, there's really no need. Like, we need outside help, but.
That would be, oh, man. Talk about one of the most hated players. And you can't really hate him for it because it's like, shit, he was just doing whatever he needed to do.
Right. Like, it's so, like, as a Saints fan, like, I don't hate him for the play. Like, we hate the refs. We hate.
Right, the refs. He should have got flagged for it.
Yeah.
I remember even after the game, he was like, shit, yeah, that was illegal as hell. But it didn't call me for it. So, I can't even knock him.
How funny would that should be. So we don't have a whole bunch to talk about. Obviously, as things around the league start picking up more, we'll have more episodes, and hopefully, we can have actual episodes. But you did have like a thought exercise that you wanted us to do before we wrap up the show real quick.
Yeah, I was just I saw someone tweeted like, how would you build your offensive line if you were, building an offense or whatever? And I just thought bigger, like, what kind of team would Adam West build? What type of team would Wolf build? If we were GMs in the NFL and had the full cap to our disposal, all the draft picks and all that shit.
You know what's hilarious, bro, is when I was in San Diego this past weekend, I forgot what we were doing. I was with my girl. We were driving, and I was talking to her about like draft picks in the NFL and how I've said on this or have you said on this show that like shit, like NFL teams don't know any better than we do, especially with draft picks. But with the amount of information they have and like the cutups that we fucking have on YouTube, sometimes they get things 100% right and 100% wrong. And sometimes we as draft nicks, although I'm retiring my draft status as a draft nick for next season, just putting that out there. But just fed up, bro. Like this last draft just ruined me, bro. Okay. I'm not watching a single fucking player for next year.
Bullshit. Draft, bro. Bullshit.
Not a single player.
You're gonna watch a cut up or two, bro. I know.
I'm not a single one. I can't do it, bro. I can't have no offense to Peyton Turner. No offense to him. Can't have another moment like that, bro. Like I can't wake up Christmas Day and have presents full of socks, bro. Like, so, oh, okay, we drafted Pete Warner. Oh, but we didn't draft the guy from Notre Dame that made all those plays. That
it's the worst, can't do it, bro.
Shut up, Ryan. Anyhow, you know, I was talking, you know, and I brought up, you know, I said, I would be fascinated. Like, let's say the NFL gave, I don't know, football Twitter, draft Twitter, like an expansion team, that they could draft players and make moves and build like an NFL team. It would never fucking happen, but I would be fucking fascinated to see what team would get put out on the field.
Yeah, man, it'd be fascinating. I'm telling you, I think the draft Twitter hit rate would be about the same.
It's 100%. It'd be about 50%.
About 50%, 50, maybe even 60. You know, it'll be a solid draft. You know what I'm saying? And I always wonder if some NFL teams do crowdsource some of the information off, you know.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I used to think the Bengals do that. I used to watch the Bengals draft. I'm like, damn, they just, like, draft would always just love their drafts. Like, oh yeah, they got our guy. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I would do it. Like, shit, man. Like, at least one or two picks. Like, especially in the late round, I'll be like, you know, let's just do a composite of the draft Twitter's, you know, thoughts on these players. You know what I'm saying? And just see how they rank up against our, you know, our grades or whatever. And just do like a composite comparison. And just see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, this makes sense, man. But I don't know, man. The draft is like, man, it's such a, like, you're trying to analyze human beings. And, you know, it's, oh, yes, you can go off the tape. Like, I'm a tape person. Like, yes. Tape should be the majority of your analysis. But then you got to worry about all the other shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, do they take it seriously? Do they like football? You know, do they show up? You know, so all that little mental shit that goes into being a good football player. It's like, is it possible for us to do that shit? Like, we don't know. You know what I'm saying?
And it's something that I remember, I don't know if I tweeted it or whatever, but something to me that's really fucking fascinating to me, especially for like draft season for NFL teams, as much money that NFL teams put into, everything they put into, like, why don't, like, I don't know if they don't, but I'm assuming like most NFL teams don't have like a sports psychologist, you know.
No, I remember you saying that a long time ago, man. It's like they're depending on coaches to do psychoanalysis.
Dumb, bro.
That's like, okay, you hire MDs for to deal with, you know, bone fractures.
That'd be like, that may have me saying, Ryan, you work in IT, but I need you to go be a social worker for like a month.
Right. It makes no sense. But that goes back to coaches, man. Coaches think they know everything about it.
Yes. And they're like, yes.
Oh, I could look at a player and know if he cares about football. No, you can't.
No! No, you... So Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, and Jeff Ireland could 100% tell that Marcus Davenport loved football?
Right.
Oh, okay.
No, what they do is they talk to him, he says the right things.
Of course.
Then they call his head coach.
It's like a job interview, bro. Like, what?
They call his head coach, my dude Frank Wilson, and he's like, oh, yeah, Marcus Davenport, hard worker. He just puts his effort into it all. Such a great kid. Never had a problem with him. They write that down, put that in the notes, and there you go. You know what I'm saying? That's what they know about this psychology. You know?
It just always blew my mind that teams, like, you don't even have to have them, you know, the whole season. Just draft season. When you're evaluating prospects, like, have these doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever.
It makes so much sense, bro. Like, why not, just like you have, like, these, you know, third-party companies come in and do, like the, analytics on all these teams. And
that, like, or, like, they hire, like, a firm to, like, give them suggestions who to hire for, like, the GM or the or the head coach or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't hire, like, a sports psychologist that can give you, like, you know, after interviewing this prospect, whatever, a certain amount of time.
There's like, you got these, you know, there's advanced personality tests. You can find out, like, what are the common big five traits of, you know, elite football players or something like that. You know, whether it's, you know, what are the big five? Neuroticism and all kinds of these little big five traits. Look it up.
Like introverted.
All that shit.
Yeah.
Like, look up and see what the big five traits are. What are these traits that make players, you know, that good players tend to have? And then you can kind of, I don't know, you can make some analysis off of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much work to be done on the psychology side that, I don't know, it's like they just leave it to grumpy old coaches that just like, I know, yeah. You know.
It's so archaic, bro. Like, just old school. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, are you talking like player wise in terms of the scheme?
No, not player wise. Just like from a scheme perspective, from a like body type, body type perspective, from a scheme approach. You know what I'm saying? What would your team be like? Just think about like, you know, there's the Ravens, there's the Kyle Shanahan's, there's the Sean Payton's. There's the Andy Reid's, you know. Just think about the style of those teams, and you know, what would be your thing? Like, how would you approach building your team? You know, whether that's quarterback first, run first, defense heavy versus like, you know, safe all offense or offensive heavy team. You know, defensive scheme. Do you want to play like? Static, you want a static, you know, like Legion of Boom type.
Right. You want like cover, switch cover, up. Cover three.
Yeah, or do you want like a switch up game plan where you just kind of mirror or adapt to whatever you plan, build tech type shit? Like,
oh like man. What? I think the easy cop out answer is I think the NFL has shown. Consistently, consistently, you have to have an elite quarterback to be at the table. You just have to. I'm sorry, you just do. And I'll give you a perfect example of it right now, bro. Talk about his contract, Lamar Jackson. You have to have an elite quarterback that. When you take everything else away, you take the run game away, you take whatever it may be, that it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, the opposing defense is sending a blitz, and that quarterback can stand in the pocket and deliver an accurate football, like that to me is, that's the number one thing. If you don't have that, you're fucked. You're fucked.
And that's Greg Cosell's like, feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he's always beat the drum about. Like, at the end of the day, the quarterback position is from the pocket. And you have to stand in against, you know, a great defense doing everything right and beat them. You have to beat the defense. You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny, too, because even when I'll go back to when I watched Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech and I was scouting him, all the shit he did off script, you know, was fantastic and great. But I think what people didn't evaluate him correctly is just how good he was in the pocket. Mm. Like, you know, they saw the scramble shit and he, you know, he trusted his arm too much and led to interceptions and he was a gunslinger. But if you just go back and just watch him playing from the pocket at Texas Tech, and he had a very average to not great offensive line, like the throws and accuracy that he was making, that's more than anything was like, every, like I saw it, and then everything else, like off script and all the scrambling, all that was just extra. Like, that was just icing, right? So that's where I would start. I think offensively, I think my offense would be Andy Reid-ish, not an enabler, but Andy Reid-ish, with a little more emphasis on the run game. Because I think, you know, we've seen Andy at times just be like, oh, Sean's just about to pass. Like, Sean's guilty of it too, bro. Like, we go crazy about it.
No, but Andy been the worst forever. Like,
bro, like, just terrible. Because I do 100% think, and this goes to the whole, like, we've talked about this conversation through text, whatever. Nothing can, there is not a advanced metric. It will never be able to measure when you have a run game going against a defense and it is working and you're getting 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, 15. There's not anything that can measure the morale that puts in the other defense and how that makes them feel. And the fatigue, you can maybe measure the fatigue, but it is and I can say this because I played like offensive line when I played football, like it's demoralizing. When you're on defense and you're getting ran over, like that shit is demoralizing.
Oh yeah. And all this defensive linemen will tell you, linebackers will tell you, and you can see it if you just watch the game. Watch the game and, you know, think about when, you know, Mark Ingram and Elvin Kamara were just going
on. Bills
game. Think about that. And you could just look at the Bills players and they just got their hands on the hips and it's just like, fuck.
They didn't want no more, bro. They didn't want no more.
I just want to go home.
Their manhood was taken. Like, right. From a football perspective, not like the match, but their manhood on the football field was diminished and taken. And that's the worst thing that can happen to me. I don't care all the fucking stats of like, well, technically I calculated this and the play action is just as effective when the run game isn't working and whatever. Fuck you. Stop it. PFF, stop it. I think that to me, and I don't poo-poo statistics. I don't poo-poo analytics. I don't. But I think that's one of the things where it's like, unless you've played, like, I've played linebacker before, and I've been on the football field when, a run game's working. Like, when a run game's working, and then the quarterback play acts, like, you fucking attack a lot harder than when you're shutting them down back-to-back plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care what anyone else says. I really don't, bro. Like, physically, like, just your mindset. Don't throw the stats away. Anyway, sorry. That's a fucking tangent. It just drives me crazy. It just drives me nuts.
No, I hear you, bro. I hear you, man. So, like, that's how... So would your team be more like a run first or just kind of like a mix it in? You want a big offensive line?
I want my offensive line to be 2009 Saints-ish. I'll tell you
heavy in the middle.
Yes. Don't
stout in the middle.
Average. I think we've seen it with the Saints, right? For like since what, 2017, we've had Teron, you know, been hurt, but we've had Teron, we've had Ram. Now that's great, but like the problems have come from the interior.
Yeah,
like I know Ram's got that contract extension, bro, but. That fucking Dante Fowler, bro. That bad.
Yeah.
Bad snap, bro.
Bad snap right there, bro.
Also the one against Daniil Hunter, the Vikings.
But to be fair, the Vikings, they were just running trains on
our trains, bro. I would want a like Carl Nix, Jari Evans, prime stout interior.
That was just a hell of a combo, man. Like,
bro,
it was hard to get those combos ever in history, bro. It's like
amazing.
Amazing combo. Amazing
and then combo. Defensively for sure. You know what's crazy? Is like this Saints defense that we like, I think, I mean, maybe Dennis Allen, maybe at time, like I think ideally this would probably be like the Saints defense the last couple of seasons would be a defense is how I would want my defense to be. Like they can finally have a defense that's fast.
Yeah.
Like fast, bro. The thing I would change and I disagree with the type of defensive end and edge rushers that the Saints love drafting. Like they love like power big dudes. Like,
yeah.
I don't want dudes to fucking bend the edge, bro.
Speed edge rushers.
Like, bro, do you? I'll never fucking forget. Danelle Ellerby had a snap. I forgot what game it was, and he bent the edge, and I was like, "Pick up, like who? Danelle Ellerby." Like, remember when we would be so deflated when Danelle Ellerby like was hurt and he couldn't play?
Yeah. Used to be a stat, like, where's 6-0 when Danelle Ellerby plays?
But, like, I don't want my edge rushers to be, just to give Saints fans ideas, like, I want them to be like Junior Gillette, bro, before he went off the rails.
Yeah, man.
Like, I want speed. I want speed. Like, that would be my... My idea, ideal kind of football setup.
Yeah.
What about you?
Man, like offensively, it so much depends on the quarterback. Like if my quarterback is athletic and can move, I think I want an athletic offensive line that can create space and kind of be like a weapon for the quarterback, you know what I'm saying, when he moves. And if my quarterback is more of statuesque type, kind of old school, is like you, I want it built down the middle, just stout, and then, you know, tackles that can just create that arc, create that circle, and let my quarterback, you know, groove down the middle, man, you know what I'm saying? And, like, defensive line, almost built the same way. I want like super stout down the middle, just like rugged, beat up guards, beat up centers, and just stout and just hold the line of attack and could push the offensive line back into the quarterback's lap. And, you know, I want edge rushers, man. I want like speed in the edge, you know what I'm saying? Just quickness, like, matter of fact, I don't even mind like just all like having like stoutness on one end and speed on the other end. But I want to be able to change it up where like I can move my stout defensive end to the left or the right and vice versa with the speed. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I'm going to bring the blitz, baby. I'm a Greg Williams trial, baby. Like, I'm going to bring that heat.
Me too, bro. Like, I would... Not, you know, not, I don't want, I wouldn't go as crazy as Greg would.
No.
I would for sure be like trying to cook up shit like Rex Ryan is prime.
Oh, yeah.
Wade Phillips. Like, I'm cooking, bro. I'm coming. Dick LeBeau. Like, I'm.
Oh, man. He was the best.
Like, if we get beat, we get beat. But, like.
Man, I challenge any Saints fan to go out and look up Dick LeBeau. I forgot what they call him. He's like an X-Blitz or Cross-Blitz.
Not the cross dog. It's not a cross dog blitz, is it?
They call them so many things, but you come, you blitz the linebackers against the A and the B gap, and they come across each other. He used to do that shit.
Oh, it was yes.
Unblockable.
It's like a cross blitz
or something like that. That shit was so good, man. And you know, Dick LeBeau, he was with the Saints, you know, during the Dawn Patrol days, and they used to terrorize teams, bro. Like they terrorize offenses. So like that's like my key. Like I want. I talk about defensive line, but linebackers too, man. I want big. I don't know. I mean, it's just hard today because linebackers.
I need.
You can't have the big 255-pound linebackers like you want. But damn, I miss that shit, bro. Like I miss. Like I used to watch Vaughn, God rest his soul, man, with the Saints. That dude looked like a superhero to me. Like he was just huge, man. Like 6'5". Just like, man, what the hell? You know, I just love those. But you couldn't have that today. But I would like linebackers that, you know, obviously could run and chase, you know. But I like hitters, man. Like, I remember Daniel Jeremiah, moved the sticks, said a long time ago when he was with the Ravens and Rex Ryan was there as the defensive coordinator. His thing was, like, all our defensive players have to hit. Like, they have to hit the shit out of whatever they hit. Like, it's the key trait. Like, if they could cover blah, 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 all those other things, yeah, that's nice. Can they fucking hit the shit out of whatever? And we saw that. Like, if you look at the Ravens, like, in the 2000s or whatever, like, all their fucking defenses, bruh, even if they weren't that great, they just knocked the shit out of people. Yes. Man. Damn. And so that would be, like, a key trait for me, even though the NFL is, like, you know, they're not so much into that anymore, but I'll be into it. Okay.
You remember the Saints playoff game against the Seahawks, and that Raphael Bush hit on Percy Harvin. That wasn't illegal. That was not an illegal hit. It was legal.
It's beautiful.
Bruh, we didn't win that game, but like that set a tone. Like y'all, like okay, we might get beat, but y'all get hit today.
Get hit today, it was coming.
Bro, when I tell you, I was livid at that call, bro.
But I loved it because you know the Saints players ain't care. It was like, okay, we'll take that flag.
Yeah.
Because it set that tone. It was like, okay, we hit the day.
I would not want. It's so funny too, because like even the crazy thing about like the Legion of Boom is like they didn't blitz, bro. Like,
oh no, that was the thing.
If they were just
throwing that out the window,
they were just so sound, but like they were.
If you look at the Legion of Boom and the dreaded 2011 Saints 49ers, the 49ers defense from that year. You know, when they had Patrick Willis and all those guys, like they didn't sub. Like it was the same, they maybe subbed one player. It was like 11 guys every snap. And they played their defense and they just played that shit. Like it wasn't no trickery and none of that shit. It was like, we gonna play our shit and we gonna stop you. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you gonna do about it? And that shit, like, so there's no right or wrong way. Like, you could be like a Dennis Allen where we're going to switch up every, you know, depending on the opponent. Or you could be like, we're going to play our cover three or our cover two and, you know, three linebackers and defensive line. Maybe, you know, little nickel snaps. That's it. Like, this is who you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be at our spot and we just going to hit the shit out of you. And you just got to stop. You just going to have to figure it out from there. And I respect both of them, man. I do like the adaptability of, like, let's say, a Dennis Allen or a Belichick, where you just kind of, you know, you figure out your opponent. But there's things to be said about those that just kind of, like, play their defense. They know their defense and they play it well. Like, there's something.
Yeah, like, you know, like, even, like, if you go back to, like, the Bucks, you know, with Monty Kiffin.
Yeah.
Tony Dungy, Tony 2, Tampa 2, like. Yeah,
and Sean Payton had those defense, bro.
Had problems. And then he realized that if I, the only way for me to be, and he, I don't know if he ever, he'll never say this out loud, but like, if you ever go, if you go through like the Saints and their progression of Sean Payton since 06, he realized that I, to beat this defense, I have to have an athletic tight end that can get over the linebackers and right before and get in front of the safeties, and the tight end gets there, the ball gets to them, boom. That it, 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 when he was able to get figure that out, he was able to conquer. Like, so it's, we should do a podcast on like the trials and tribulations that Sean Payton has had as a coach. First, it was Tampa 2. For a while, it was, speaking of Dick LeBeau, like a Steelers 3-4 defense would give him fits, bro.
Tough.
Anytime they played the Steelers, the Ravens, or anyone who had like a 3-4 bare front type of defense.
That Jets game in 09, man. Like,
yeah.
That was a tough game. Like, we beat them, but it was like,
bro,
offensively, it was tough.
I said it up, said it on the podcast, like, that's the game. My ex-wife was like, hey, I gotta go to the hospital. And she was pregnant at the time. I was like, you should, like, worst decision, biggest regret in my life I've ever done. But, not funny, right?
That 3-4 defense, boy, and you stress it.
Yeah, that was a CBS game, bro. Like, I remember that shit. They had Thomas Jones, like, that brain. But yeah, again, 3-4 defense. And as he's, you know, as he's going through his career, like, he's been able to, you know, figure out, do, you know, not every time. Like, Mike Zimmer still got his number a few times here and there. Sometimes Sean will have Mike Zimmer's number. Like, it goes back and forth. But it like, if you, it'd be interesting to just go through, like, the evolution of him as a coach.
No, it really would be. That really would be interesting. Because he, you know, he's had to learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's had to
learn,
especially dealing with coaches that know him. Like, what was the head coach name for Carolina?
Ron
Rivera? No, before him.
John Fox?
John Fox, yeah. Like, John Fox, like, they knew each other. They worked together. Him and Mike Zimmer, they worked together in Dallas. You know, those guys that really, like, understand Sean Payton and what he's trying to do, he's had a tough time with him. And he's had a tough time with those, you know, like 3-4, man. Like 3-4, man. Like, that used to be tough, man. Like, every time we go against a 3-4, it was like,
we knew it was an L, bro. We knew it was an L.
Like, it was the Cleveland Browns when they had a big man in the middle that we ended up signing. Man, like, that was a tough game. We lost that game, 2010. Like, I knew it was a lot of trick plays and shit on offense, but defensively, it was.
Was that the Scott Fujita game?
Scott Fujita game. He was just picking us off. Yep. He knew all our calls. It was terrible, bro.
That was a terrible fucking game, bro. Terrible.
So yeah, man. Like as far as what I build, man. Like, I, you know, I don't want to adapt with defense, but like, you know, people like to go back and forth about what's, you know, chicken or the egg, the defensive line or the coverage. They both go together. But like, I start with the defensive line. I want to hit the quarterback often.
Absolutely.
And I would just dump money on it. That would be like,
and with the NFL, bro, like, it, the NFL is so geared to help wide receivers offensively. Like, the only way you can combat, like, you can be the best corner. Darrell Revis in his prime. Doesn't matter. Yeah. You can only fucking cover for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You can only cover for so long. So I'm 100% with you. Like, it would be like, I want that edge, that elite edge. Like, give me, who's the elite edge? Give me TJ Watt. Which is so crazy because it's like, I still remember watching him at fucking Wisconsin and thought he was fucking running in fucking quicksand. Like, when he got drafted in the first round, I was like, oh, this is some nepotism right here. Like, like, I don't and I don't know if he got faster when he went to Pittsburgh. or what, bro? But
man, it's crazy. Know, like
the crazy thing is, speaking of edge rushers in Wisconsin, like Bond could be like a very, yeah. very, very poor man's T.J. Watt if the Saints decided to.
I mean, if you saw their tape,
bro.
Really ain't that much of a stretch, like
it really isn't, like, bro.
Because T.J. Watt like, not was not like that outstanding. Like
I'm not saying Zach Bond is T.J. Watt. Like T.J. Watt, like was almost defensive player of the year. But like, I'm saying like profiles, like the way they played at Wisconsin, strikingly similar.
Like that's yeah, what I'd be looking at. If I was the Saints, that's what I'd be looking at. Like,
that's it. But
can
yeah,
how can I turn this guy to T.J. Watt? I mean, T.J. Watt.
But yeah, they want this man to be
a white girl weak.
they want this man to be John Dilma. Like, come on, bro.
Come on, man. Stop it.
What's the vision, bro? Sorry. All right, I will stop. We go wrap it up because I'm getting upset all over again. I will say one last thing though is that's something I'm gonna be very interested to see in training camp. Is this whole Zach Bond shit. Like, he was a third round pick last year, bro. Third round. Like, we've had some good third round picks in the Saints history. Alvin, Jimmy Graham. I'm sure there's more. I don't have my fucking draft spreadsheet. Like, Traquan was a third rounder. Was he not? Yeah, he was a third rounder.
Yeah.
Like, Traquan is a decent starter in the NFL. So you have a third round pick who potentially you were willing to draft at 26 or wherever the fuck they picked in the first round. And you can't to like that whole thing for him in training camp for me is gonna be super interesting to watch. Like all the reports, and I don't read them like I used to because I don't fucking have time. But I'll be like when I read them, like I'll read Kat or Mike Tripp or whoever, I'll read their stuff like I'm gonna see what Zach
Bond
doing, bro.
Yeah, man. That would be interesting. I'm waiting to see, bro. I don't know, man.
I said it earlier, man. If he doesn't do it in training camp, I don't know if he might not be on the 53, bro.
It's possible.
He might get that Antonio Pittman?
Oh, man. You know what? It's one of the things that could backfire on them, bro.
Could you not see Zach Bond, like the Saints cutting him and Zach Bond going to like the Patriots?
Oh, I could see it easily.
And blossoming, bro.
You like that Jamie Collins or something, man? Like, I could see it.
Kyle Van Noy. Like, come on, man. Anyway, we'll leave this on a positive note. Bring all the shit down. So as shit starts revving up, we will start doing more episodes. We did take a break. There wasn't shit to talk about. We will also try to get other guests, non-football guests in this kind of dead period on to come on and talk about what the fuck ever. But we do want to get this episode out so you guys had something to listen to. As you continue to support us, we truly do appreciate it.
Yes.
We'll see what happens, man. Like it's July and next month it's gonna be, training camp's gonna be starting soon.
We're gonna be rolling, man. That's when we're gonna be rolling, man. We got tons to talk about right now. We just trying to enjoy our little time away. I was in the pool yesterday just chilling.
I wasn't in the pool yesterday. I was hanging out by the pool yesterday, bro. It was nice, man. It's been enjoying it, man.
Shout out to the people that have made me a meme.
never. Oh, you mean me, before. Or you mean that, like, or everyone else?
Well, you started it, motherfucker.
I did.
You started that shit, and.
I don't even think people knows like the genesis of how it started. Like, so, like Ryan just sends me this picture one day of him just sweating, because him and I always talk about
it was years ago.
And I on Twitter used it once to describe it being hot. Like, that's all I remember. And it has, like, taken on a life of its own, especially this summer, this year. Ryan has been every... Ryan's been Dan Arnold. Ryan's been a photographer in the NFC Championship game.
My favorite one, though, with my dude, he had me sitting behind Drew on the Yahoo Finance.
Yes, bro. Bro, I saved that one to my phone.
That's my favorite one, bro. Like, that's the exact face I would have. Like, what the fuck are you saying, Drew?
What's Yahoo Finance?
Yahoo Finance, Drew. Don't do it. Don't do it, Drew. That was my favorite one, man.
So yes, they have been hilarious, absolutely hilarious. I don't know why it picked up so much. Like, we've been using that picture on Twitter for at least a good 3-4 years now. And I don't know what it is about this summer where it's just blowing the fuck up. But the shout out to Brayton, who started it, because he put you with the Junior Gillette one first. Oh, Brayton, man. The one who did our pod, our car logo.
Shout out to him.
And it's just taking off after that. I will say, I mean, next Monday, this time next Monday, I'll be all Botoxed up. So, ready.
Oh, word? I'm sweating, baby.
Ready, bro.
You gotta let me know how it go. My wife, she's like, I don't trust that shit. I'm like, I'm gonna let Adam test it out.
It's crazy because so many people get it for that reason alone.
Wow.
And I've known this, and maybe because now I've been at a job that has like good benefits. And I was like, shit, like I should really fucking like have good healthcare. Like it'll literally cost me maybe $10 to get Botox in my forehead and in my armpits. Like, why would I not do that?
Man.
So I'll do it, test it out, let you know how it goes. I'm tired, bro. Tired of sweating shit. 109 degrees, 108. Nah.
Mm-mm. I feel you, bro.
Nah. Cool nigga summer. Mm-mm. That's how I'm feeling. All right. Well, again, thanks for all the support. For sure, thanks to all our Patreon subscribers who are still, you know, I know it was a dead period, but you guys are still supporting us, and we really, 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 really do appreciate it. I don't think I can express that enough. If you're a fan and you're listening to the podcast, you can please leave us a 5-star review, iTunes, or whatever, Spotify, whatever it is. That definitely helps as well. And then as shit starts picking up in the league, we'll be giving you guys content, giving you guys episodes. Something happens, Saints on someone, we'll for sure wrap it up and talk about it, maybe even have a film breakdown of if it's a player that's at least notable. We'll just keep doing this shit for you guys. We appreciate it. With that, we're out.
Peace.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.